Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast!
Woo! With me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
And me, Kate Rhodes. Okay, we got even more listener feedback, Maysoon.
I love listener feedback.
Oh, well, there's something coming up at the Growlery.
Oh!
Excursions by Tiffany Lynn, opening May 18th. The reception is 7 to 10, and it'll be up until June 8th.
Sounds great.
This is a new set of exploratory maneuvers by itinerant Bay Area-bred artist Tiffany Lynn. The exhibition provides a glimpse into Lynn's recent forays in poetry, performance, and experimental narratives. Hey, Maysoon, where are you at on mindfulness?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me about Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Damn. Mindfulness. Oh, I think I forgot about mindfulness this week.
I pretty much ignored
it all week.
My therapist told me, oh, there's all these mindfulness apps.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, like what? And he was like,
I don't know.
All kinds, just find one.
I have more of a meditation app called Calm.
Oh, yeah. They're good.
But they do have like guided meditation, which might be part of the mindfulness part of it.
Calm's a great one. Yeah. I found this one called Mindfulness Coach.
Okay.
And it's free and it's put out by the VA.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, and so...
There's probably, legit research in that.
I hope, I hope this is, I don't know. It seems good. I've been doing it so far. And my favorite thing about it is it has, daily exercises and, meditations and, little readings about mindfulness and stuff.
Right.
And as you go and you do all these little things, there's a little seedling.
Oh, and it grows?
Yeah, and it grows into a tree.
What are some of the examples of the mindfulness sessions? Do you have a sense of, have you done a couple?
So it's breathing meditations and, I'm very early on. I'm on level 2.
Oh, you go into levels.
And you complete each activity. So this one's how to anchor your attention.
Thank you.
It may be helpful to consider ways to help yourself anchor your attention when certain challenges are present, especially if you're struggling with trauma. So, so it's got practice with your eyes closed.
Oh, I kind of really want to do that.
Yeah, you should get this app. I really highly recommend it. It's free. It's called Mindfulness Coach. If anybody does it and they're like, whoa, this is fucked up, I apologize. And you can you write a little reflection after
you do,
and it'll save it.
Do you have to, they'll save it. And
you don't have to.
They'll use it against you later on the internet.
Probably. I don't know. I mean, this is probably going straight to the fucking federal government. So be careful.
If it's part of the VA.
Yeah.
It's already part of the government, probably.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. So I'm just putting that out there for people that are, one of their summer goals maybe is to expand their mindfulness.
Why did it come up for you?
To help with anxiety.
Anxiety, okay.
Yeah.
Do you do that, do you have, a regular, do you do that
No,
every
that's
day?
Why I got it, right? To try to have
You're like,
one.
I've got no practice, and I'm trying to get into it.
No, I used to. I was dating a French-Canadian once who was really into meditation, and I did one of those 90-day meditation blah-bitty-blahs.
90 days?
Yeah, dude. It was a lot.
Was that a silent retreat?
No. It was just do at your house.
Got
but
it.
Then I signed up to go to one of those silent, the 10-day silent
Shit.
Meditation things.
Did you do it?
And they're free. No, then I bailed because we broke up. So I was I don't need to prove anything anymore.
Oh, no. You're I don't need this shit. I used to do, when I was in college and just after college, used to do a lot of meditation. I used to go to the Zen Buddhist temple in the area and go. Just 2-hour meditation thing, which is...
Did you feel your mental health at that time?
I was a kid. I mean, I wasn't dealing with the kind of things that I'm dealing with now.
It's hard to find time if you're a busy person to do all this shit.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay.
Don't get stressed. Don't get stressed about it.
We also got other listener feedback. Okay, we got some listener feedback. Here we go. First and foremost, I want to say how much I love the podcast. Thank you so much. It's always lovely
love it.
To hear that. Okay, I live with a 3.5-year-old toddler, and his grandparents give him the iPad and let him go wild on YouTube.
Okay, this is one of your followers.
So now I've heard the Finger Family song. And whenever I hear it, it creeps me out because of the article you shared.
Oh, shit.
I did fill out the listener survey. Oh, guys, there's a listener survey on our website, congratulationspinetree.com. Take the listener survey. Okay, back to the listener, Maysoon.
Got it.
When I was younger, I was an avid writer and used my surroundings as a basis for the creation of a very magical world complete with maps and peoples and mythologies.
Love it. Amazing. Oh, my God.
This actually is from George R.R. Martin, the writer of mm-hmm. the Game of Thrones books. I was always very inspired by the natural world and the acres of land on which I lived, though my writing did not really have anything to do with nature. I also dabbled with the poetry, drawing, piano, ceramics, and even painting, though I could never get the hang of it. Oh, listener. Okay, this is Kate now speaking from my own perspective. If you want to keep on painting, just keep at it, because it takes, a long time to become a good painter. That's all I'm saying. Okay, long story longer. I'm now 30 years old and approaching 31 on July 1st. Happy birthday. That was from me again. That was aside from me. And wish I could recapture the inspiration of my youth. Oftentimes, I will be filled with the urge to create, but as I have struggled with depression and anxiety throughout my adult life, side note from Kate again, get that mindfulness app, it's been very difficult to fulfill those creative instincts. I have finally recently taken the right steps in my life and am feeling mentally healthy and stable for the first time. That's amazing. Awesome. That is so awesome.
Congratulations.
But I still feel disconnected from my art and from my creativity in general. My question is, how do you guys find the inspiration to continue doing things like making this podcast and, in Kate's case, making your art in general? This is a great question, actually. I have this question for others often. That was also from me, Kate Rose. Okay, back to the listener. I don't know if you ever talked about what art or your art means to either of you, but I would love to hear your thoughts on the matter. Jesus Christ, I'm going to cry. Aww. That was from Kate again. Okay. I may soon you answer this. Because you, as like a arts administrator, like what keeps you invested? I mean, for one thing, for both of us, our income is also tied to our art interests.
That's true, but that's never been like a driving force for me. And
yeah, well, I mean, we're not making much money, so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess I, to be cheesy and honest, I believe in the power of art, and selfishly, I really love working with artists and in some ways being a part of that creative process. When you're working with closely with an artist on a project they're developing, it's exciting to see things go from point A to point to, you know, from the early stages of just a thought to watching it develop. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that are really exciting from an arts administrator side. You know, all of the fucking contracts and all the logistical shit is not that exciting, but there's the reward is working directly with artist and seeing them grow. I mean, ultimately.
Right on. Okay. What? Okay.
For me.
Let me relook at the question again. Oh, and what about the podcast? How do we find the inspiration to continue doing the podcast, Maysoon?
Sometimes it's tricky. I mean, I think because we do it every week that they're, I think feeling exhausted and not being into it 100% is a real thing. Yeah. In both the creative process and our process here. And I don't think that should be, that doesn't mean it's over. You should, you know, you need to kill it.
It's
or
like
not
a
do
relationship.
It.
It's yeah. like a love relationship.
There are ebbs and flows moments where like, we're super excited. We've got all these ideas and we're running for it. And there's other moments where we're sort of like, I don't really know. I'm tired.
Yeah. You just have to keep showing up. I mean, I think that's how we keep going is we're just like, look, we got a deadline. We got to put a show out this week.
Yeah.
We got to be there and do something.
Yeah.
The podcast is much easier than like doing some big art project.
Yeah.
Because for one thing, we have like an audience that is like a reliable audience that we sometimes get feedback from. So there's yes. kind of a reciprocal.
Yeah.
We know somebody's listening, which is helpful and encouraging. Right.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that it's just us talking and right. like, you know, it's we don't have to like rent a space to do it or no. there's not a lot of money invested and all that kind of thing. So yeah. it's easy to keep invested in the podcast.
I think also you were saying like showing up, there's like showing up physically, like us actually getting together in a room and talking or on the phone and talking. But I also think showing up in like a really honest way with one another and like with what we're talking about and not sort of putting on airs or like having this like hyper prepared scripted situation.
We
that
wouldn't
maybe
have made
doesn't
it
feel
this
as
far
genuine or as honest. Like I think that's a certain kind of showing up, which can be also exhausting, you know, depending on what we're talking about. I've certainly cried on the podcast multiple times before, you know, but I think that's what makes it exciting and interesting. Because sometimes we don't really know what we're going to talk about until we're already talking about it. And that's brings up all new issues and ideas.
Yes. Yes.
I was also going to say really quick on like, I'm not a practicing artist in the way that Kate is, but I do have a practice of taking dance classes all the time. And that's like just something I, for me, like my relationship to that is like, I have to do, I feel like I have to do that. It like, it brings me, literally brings me pure joy.
Right on. Are you going to cry right now? Yeah. Okay. So yes, I agree with all that. And then in terms of being a studio artist, it's hard because there's like the practical side. There's like the spiritual, like why is art important to you on a soul level?
Yeah.
Which for me is hard to answer because I don't always feel in my soul that it is like mm-hmm. always a worthwhile endeavor.
Right.
Like, I just know for me, I would always do it no matter if I was a professional artist or a fucking dolphin trainer. I have to have a creative practice as part of just how I live and how I interpret my experience as a human being.
Yeah.
So, but as far as like having a studio and like trying to like show my art to people and like whatever, like get shows or make sure I'm still somehow relevant in this world.
Oh God.
That's like a whole nother, that's a whole, I kind of see that as like a whole separate way of being an artist. Okay, so how do I stay inspired and on point with that? Okay, I went to a workshop that Dynasty Handbag had at the lab a few months ago.
Good.
And the workshop was basically about this, like, how do you get yourself out there and like stay trucking when you're an artist and you like an artist probably with a day job and like a lot of other shit that could keep you from making art, right? And I think some of the things were super helpful. I kind of almost wish I could put all the little, we like filled out these little worksheets.
Uh-huh.
But I don't want to put those out without her permission. But if you want to email Dynasty Handbag.
What were some of the
questions? So one of the things was like, think of an artist that's really important to you. But like an artist you can't imagine your life without their work in the world. Mm-hmm. And like just list them. And then I think the idea was kind of to acknowledge that like your work could be just as important to someone else as their work is to you.
Yeah.
Right. So like even in the, especially in these times with fascism rising across the globe mm-hmm. and it feels sometimes irrelevant to be making these whatever like silhouette cutouts of the Beatles or whatever, like that there is still a place and a relevance to art and that you can and hopefully everyone can recognize that in their own life and how they have a relationship to culture. So, okay, that's one way. Another thing that I got from Dynasty Handbag, set a timer. Okay. Set a timer. If you're having trouble just like getting started, just go sit in your place where you do your creative act with whatever your supplies are and just set a timer.
Even if you're just sitting there.
Whatever, just set a time and hopefully you can have like a regimented regular, like you're doing this once a day or once a week or whatever, just set a timer for like 25 minutes or whatever is a workable time for you where you're just going to go try to do something.
Have you tried that?
Yeah, I do that sometimes. Oh, okay. I do it more when I have to work on like a residency or grant application.
Oh, just to get yourself through it.
Yeah, where I'm like, okay, like if I just set the timer and I'm like within this time chunk, I will be working on this thing. Mm-hmm. And I can't avoid it and like go do the dishes or something. It does help me get things done.
I try just a quick and
oh yeah.
I've been trying to do that more with as part of my job with reading of like critique or reading whatever, just like giving myself an hour a week where I'm just dedicated to reading, like reading about or thinking about ideas in the art and not just kind of like the constant like grind of like working.
Yeah.
Just like I feel like it's important to honor these other ways of working, which is easy to just kind of overlook and not pay any attention to.
Timer is your best friend.
Yeah.
I have a egg timer that's a chicken on top.
Cute.
Yeah.
It clicks away at you.
Yes. So I love that. Okay, what else about this question? What does art or your art mean to you? Yeah, see, that's rough because I feel like, when you're in like the art industry and you're like always confronted by like, selling things and all the problems with all the like academic, commercial and institutional art worlds. It's kind of like, I don't have rose colored glasses about any of it.
Right.
So.
Nor should you.
Yeah. Did you ever see that movie Never Let Me Go or read the book?
Mm-mm.
They're basically clones of people that were like made to harvest organs for like the people they're clones of.
Oh.
And they just live to be like 18 or however old until they start having to give up their organs.
Oh, crazy.
And like they get the idea that if they can, if they make art and if they fall in love, they can go and make a plea to the people in charge to get an extension so they don't have to die so young.
Wow.
To kind of prove, like, they bring their artwork to prove that they have a soul. And so they shouldn't just be, like, discarded.
Wow.
Like, objects. It is straight up the saddest movie I've ever seen. I cried for, like, 20 minutes after it was over.
Do you think it was a good movie, or was this...
I loved it.
You loved it.
I can't watch it again, though, because it was, like, too much.
Never Let Me Go?
Never Let Me Go. And anyhow, but in the end, it's like the point is like whether they were making art or not, they're just stuck in this system. And it's like everyone has a soul. It's just like you got fucked over by this creepy dystopia. Okay.
Amen to that.
So God. I don't know if that's relevant to the question, but I don't know. I think that's kind of part of it is like if I find out that somebody else has a creative practice, I do kind of feel like, oh, wow, like. There's another way for me to know you other than just talking to you, which is kind of interesting. So I don't know. I would just encourage the listener. I don't know if any of this was helpful at all, but
I think it was.
Look, man, if you have the urge to create something, you should go for it. It's going to make your life richer.
Agreed.
Also, it's a way to be in community with other people.
There we go.
If you do creative projects in some kind of communal way. Okay. That's my pitch for art. If anybody, listeners, if you have some really inspirational words about what art means to you, please send it in. Congratulationspinetree@gmail.com is our email. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can call or text 419-351-6606. That was a real existential question, Maysoon. I feel like
it was good.
I'm going to have to do some meditation
later. I know.
Later
I want to do some meditation on that.
Sometimes I start thinking about these things and it makes me depressed.
Oh, really?
Kind of. Because then you really have to face the big questions.
I go in the other direction.
Where you're like so filled with like inspiration.
Well,
and
it just fills me with like the desire to like dig into my brain and like get my own answers like organized, my own thoughts around it organized, which I like that process. I like the idea of doing that.
Sometimes if I'm trying to
I'll set a timer and spend some time really getting into that.
Oh my God. Okay. Great. Bring that in for the next episode. Yeah.
Thank you, listener, for the encouragement.
Sometimes when I look within, I'm just staring into an abyss.
No. There's no abyss in you.
Okay,
Mason. Too much going on.
Okay, so the listener also had one last question, okay?
Okay.
I've recently been thinking about trying to work for one of the 2020 presidential campaigns.
Oh,
what
geez.
Are your thoughts about who I should work for and what are some of the issues you care about the most? What do you think about that? This person says, I know your podcast isn't a political podcast. Hell yes, it
we
is.
We talk about politics a lot. Kate has been one I think you should follow. Kate's Instagram, Twitter, which one are you doing all the presidential? Instagram, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been polling people about who, every time somebody declares that they're running, I put a poll up for people just to say yes or no to that person. And goddamn, people, I think, are sick of everyone. And I've been getting 100.
There's so many people. It's like 25 people.
I think Michael Bennett was the last to announce.
I have
Senator,
no fucking idea who that
Senator
is.
Senator from Colorado. He did a big speech on the floor of the Senate about the wall. And it like went viral. And I think it put a little sass in his pants to be.
I feel like we need like a
sass.
We need a document with all of the people running and like a couple lines about what their main.
I think the New York Times and 538 all have like running. Yeah, where you can look at everybody, and they have like updates where it's like, here's what everyone running for president did this week. Like, and it has all the highlights. But I'll put links to all that.
Do they have like, here's what they did 3 years ago?
Well, there's also ontheissues.org. That has like you can look at anybody who's ever if they've served in elected office and see like how they voted and all the public statements they've made on various issues.
I do feel like following all these candidates is a full-time job. I'm just saying I'm impressed that about how much you know about so many of them.
I'm not an expert. I just listen to a lot of podcasts.
I know, but you still know quite a bit more than most people I know.
But the other thing is like there is only going to be a few people I feel like that really make it to the end, like make it to the first primary.
You think so?
I think a lot of these people are going to drop out.
Why? Plus, why would they? Like,
because they'll burn up all their money, and they'll realize they don't have a fucking snowball's chance in hell.
I heard that with the debates, they're going to do two debates in order to get everyone in.
Well, there's a cap. They're like, we're only doing 20 people. They're going to do two rounds with 10 people each, I guess. And some wild card people have qualified, like Marianne Williamson, who's this self-help guru.
Oh my God.
She qualified.
Do you know what the qualifications were?
I think it's like you... the number of individual donors, I think it's like you have to have 60,000 individual donors. Oh, okay,
so not necessarily corporate, yeah.
Yeah, no. I think the other thing was you have to have at least, I want to say like 1% or something in the in a poll. In I forget what polls they're counting as qualifying polls. I could be wrong on that. Okay, anyhow, point is to our listener, the podcast has already endorsed Bernie Sanders as
officially, yes.
as our person who's running for in the Democratic primary. So we would suggest him as we have officially endorsed him. So you go ahead and do that.
Go ahead and campaign for Bernie.
I, though, personally have a sense, Maysoon, and this is pure conjecture, okay, that I kind of think Kamala will probably win California. And now we're on Super Tuesday. We got moved forward in the primaries.
So. When's Super Tuesday?
So on February 3rd is the Iowa caucus.
That's the first primary.
Yeah. Okay, Maysoon, here's who goes on Super Tuesday. This could be the determining day.
March 3rd.
March 3rd, 2020. So you got California, Utah, Colorado, Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, North Carolina, Virginia, and Minnesota. And I have a sense, Maysoon, that I think Kamala is going to get it in California.
I don't know. Well,
she already won a statewide race in California. Maysoon, here's the deal. Here's the deal to the listener, too. Listener, how about instead of campaigning, I mean, go ahead and campaign, but also spend your time writing a grant for me and Maysoon to be able to, like, go and move to Pennsylvania and get our residency there and then be able, I mean, and by residency, I mean established residency so we can get a driver's license and register to vote there.
How long does that take?
We're going to move to Pennsylvania. Okay. Everybody who's listening, you also must do this. We all need to move to Pennsylvania. Okay. To get your voting registration in Pennsylvania, you have to be a U.S. citizen and you have to reside in the district where you're registering to vote for at least 30 days before the election. Okay, a voter must be at least 18, duh, and the deadline to register to vote is 30 days before the election. So actually, do we need to be there 30 days before 30 days before the election?
To be safe, I would, because you know how they want to fuck around with voters.
Okay, let's get there then on my birthday, August 31st. Okay?
Oh my God.
Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can register in person or by mail. We'll sort that all out when we're all living there. Okay, Maysoon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the other thing is, Maysoon, we got to get there before my birthday, really. Okay, here's the deal. If anybody has been going on Swing Left, remember we were really pitching them hard. Okay, they're still active, guys. Get over there to swingleft.org. And they're saying that they have this thing now called super states, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So in 2020, the most important battles are going to be concentrated in just a few states.
Oh,
there's 11 super states, okay? And if we can flip the White House, the Senate, and state houses, that's going to be a major victory for the left in America, right? So the states, okay, so the three main components are, do they have a swing election for the Senate, okay, so one where it's close,
right?
You know, okay, so those states for the Senate are Arizona, Colorado, Texas, Georgia, North Carolina, and Maine, okay? And then for the presidential, if they have a swing for the presidential where it's close, mm-hmm. right, are Arizona, Texas, Colorado, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and Maine, okay?
How far is Arizona from us? I feel like we should just go to Arizona.
Very close. Very close to us. It touches us.
Maybe I'll do some campaigning in Arizona.
Okay, great. Okay, good. People think about that.
That's on both their lists. Both those lists.
And then the third thing is gerrymandering. Okay? So they're like...
And that's like fucking with the ballots. No?
Gerrymandering is like redrawing the map of where districts are.
Maps. Yeah.
Yeah. There actually was a great series about gerrymandering on 538's podcast. If anybody wants to listen to some very boring shit about gerrymandering, we can ensure fair district maps are drawn after the 2020 census and more Democrats are elected to the U.S. House over the next 10 years. If you go and try to fuck with this shit in Texas, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. So Texas has all three of these things, and so does Georgia. Okay. And Pennsylvania has two. So
it has two.
We got to go to Pennsylvania. Okay, listener. So actually, that's what you should be doing. The point is, guys, here's the deal, really. Okay. Let's hold hands. Everyone hold hands with your phone or whatever you're listening to. We got to get out of California. Okay. Aww. I know. Look, we can be right back. Okay, Maysoon. We can't do anything here.
How can I get out of my job for a few months?
That's what I'm saying. They won't give you leave for a residency, in quotes?
Let's get a fucking residency. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's work. I want to figure out how to get a grant to do this.
Okay.
Do you think the NEA would fund this?
Well, no, because they probably can't give things that are explicitly for political campaigns.
Of course not. Of course not. We just need a compound.
Look, let's just go in June. All the teachers, if you have the summer off, we'll leave right after you're done teaching. We'll just get a little caravan together and we'll head out to wherever we need to go. I personally want to go to Pennsylvania, as I've said many times.
many times.
But if other people want to go to these other states and you think you'll do well there, I actually have a lot of friends in Texas, and by a lot, I mean one, who is a really politically active person who could plug you right into all this shit. Well, we really popped off about that.
My God. Fuck, it's really coming up soon here.
Okay, we also got an email from Jack Fisher. Jack Fisher's got to show up. And also, we got an email from the San Jose Improv, because I think I
accidentally... We've been getting so many emails from them.
I accidentally gave them our email address when I was there, the last time I was there.
We can unsubscribe. Did you go? Did you like their venue?
It's all right.
For improv?
I don't like these places that make you do a 2-drink minimum.
Oh, you they know? All do that.
Because I don't drink, and so I end up getting like a $5 thing that's like of orange
soda.
Juice.
You're like, this sucks.
You gotta pay. You got a 2-drink minimum. That's just like bullshit. Cobbs. Cobbs blows, and I take a stand. And congratulations, Pine Tree takes a stand against Cobbs Comedy Club in North Beach in San Francisco. Is the worst comedy venue I've ever been to.
I hope it's not run by the fucking mob, because now you're gonna get gunned down.
Go ahead. I will lay my life down to take a stand against Cobbs, the worst comedy club.
Why?
It is like airport level ripoff. In my opinion.
Oh, wow. Ballpark.
Yes. You pay for your ticket, which could be up to like a lot of money, like $35 or more. Okay. Thousands. It could be thousands of dollars. Okay. There's a 2-drink minimum. Okay. It's terrible. I don't know. I get a fucking
soda.
Yeah.
On the rocks.
And so that's like $5 or $6. It's like $6 for a water.
Yeah. Okay? That's bullshit. And they probably check your bag so you can't come in with your water bottle.
They're checking you all up and down, all over. Cavity searches. Okay, oh, now I'm going off the grid. But point is, and the venue is weird. And you're all sat with the weird other people. They're just trying to pack in. You're touching knees with strangers.
I don't like touching knees.
And then, you know, and so they're like taking orders and stuff because they have food like during the show. And then all of the...
They're all in the way.
The staff comes through and gives your check. And someone's like... Oh, can I pay with 2 cards? And they're like having a whole fucking conversation. Well, the comedian is trying to close the show, you know, with the big joke at the end. It's just a fucking travesty. I have a real bone to pick with this place. It's very sad. And I also heard that the Punchline is closing.
Oh, no.
Which has been around for a long time.
The fuck?
So comedy scene here in San Francisco needs help.
It's having a problem.
We got to open a new comedy club. Let's do that. Let's open it in Vallejo.
Let's open a traveling comedy club that takes us to Pennsylvania.
There we go. Oh, Mason's really got the gears turning about all that. That's good. I do just have to say,
Vallejo. Mm.
I like Vallejo. There's also, if people are looking for comedy, you also have Stageworks, has In Games Improv. So that is like improv.
Yeah, yeah.
Over there on Valencia Street, near Valencia and 16th. And All Out Comedy Theater in Oakland on Telegraph is where Talkies is now.
Oh, yeah.
Usually hosted by DJ Real or Scott Vermeer, friends of the show. Mm-hmm. Get out to that. That show's once a month. Okay, but Maysoon, the thing is, like, if you're going to SF Sketchfest, they use all the venues all over the place. So you could be going to something in a little cubbyhole at Piano Fight in the Tenderloin, which is, like, cheap, like, probably whatever. Like, normally you go to a show there, it's, like, $10 or something. But then you're like signing up for some other fucking show. And sure enough, it's at Cobb's. And you have to do the 2-drink minimum. And it might not say that if you're getting your shit through.
How do they make sure you're doing the 2-drink? someone actually keeping tab.
They come and they're like, okay, you have one more drink you have to get.
I hate them.
I hate it. Yeah, dude.
I just don't understand that.
We're making a lot of enemies this episode.
It's okay.
But you know what? For the throne. Okay, we're really going off the grid because neither of us prepared this week. Thank God that listener wrote in and gave us something to talk about.
That was a good one, listener.
But the other thing, Maysoon, is my favorite other thing about Game of Thrones is how the Night's Watch will say, and now his watch is ended.
Oh, when someone dies?
I've been saying that about everything. Like, it was the end of the semester for me this week, and I was like, and now my watch has ended.
That's funny.
Any other final tips for the listeners, Maysoon? Do you think we'll have a whole episode's worth of shit for this?
It might be a little shorty.
I'm driving out to my nephew's graduation. He's graduating from high school.
Kate is driving all the way to Ohio from California.
I'm going to Buffalo, New York.
Damn. Wait, he's in New York?
No, they're in Ohio, but I'm going to head out and see the show that Bonanza has.
Oh, yeah. Over at Bica?
Bica. The Buffalo Institute of Contemporary Art.
Wait, that's kind of a distance. That's like far out of the way, isn't it?
It's only 5 hours from Columbus. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Distance makes the heart grow fonder. Let us know what you're doing this summer. What are your summer goals? Let us know what apps you're on that are helping you maintain
your mindfulness.
Yes.
And anything else.
Yes. But until then, we'll be driving from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.